Our God is so faithful. He is who he said he is. He does what he says he'll do. He's worthy of our trust in him. He's worthy of our faith in him. The essence of faith. Some 20, 25 years ago, I heard a lesson taught on faith, and it really impacted me because it was all about how we need faith in our lives, how the scriptures make it so clear that we as Christians are all about faith because our God is a God of faith. We have to have faith. But through the years, I think I found that so few Christians really understand what faith really is and what it involves from us to be in faith. And so delving in a little, doing a similar type of study, because faith is so necessary in the life of a Christian. Let's explore some definitions. We talk about faith. What is it? Well, let's start with the essence of faith. What is the essence? We'll look to Webster. He says, that which makes something what it is. It's just so obvious what it is that you just know what it is, and it becomes a part of you, and it's intrinsic, and it's fundamental, and it's basic. It's an essential being. The word essential means basic, absolute, complete, perfect, pure, necessary, indispensable, requisite, required. Do you hear any possibility for compromise in there, for something else to be a part of it? If something's absolute and it's perfect, it's lacking nothing. It's all that you need. It's all that you want. So now let's turn to Webster to see what his definition of faith is. It comes from the Latin fidere, F-I-D-E-R-E. For those of us who have taken Latin, we would remember that. And that means to trust or confide in. In that last song, did you hear how trustworthy God is? He's faithful. He's trustworthy. He's the firm foundation upon which we build our lives. So it's also unquestioning belief in God. Unquestioning. Without doubt. Without compromise. It's absolute. No doubt, no unbelief, no wavering. For we know the Apostle James talked about this kind of thing is not good because it creates a double-minded man. And God cannot hear nor answer the prayers of a double-minded man. Complete trust, confidence, or reliance. Again, absolutes. We're dealing in absolutes. God's not a sometimes God. He's not a sometimes faithful. He's not a sometimes trustworthy. He's absolute. He's all the way, 100%. You know that ivory talks about it's 99.94% pure. Well, that's really very, very good, but it's not 100%. So that leaves room for something else in there. But with God, he's 100%, and that is absolute. Loyalty, allegiance to some person, which would be God, or something, which would be the Word of God. A synonym for faith is belief or believing. And another way of remembering about believing is be living in. That makes it very rubber meets the road. That makes it an everyday thing. We live every day. Our believing is our being living in God. Okay, now we've had Webster's definition. What about God's definition? This is the one that's really key, right? Well, the King James Version says, and I think we probably all have this one memorized, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Because faith deals with things we can't see, we can't feel, we can't touch. It's actually in the realm that goes beyond the five senses. And so the five senses are reaching out, trying to see, trying to touch, trying to feel, trying to figure it out, trying to say, okay, can I put my trust in this God? I don't know. I can't see him. I can't hear an audible voice. You know, can I do this? Can I really trust him? Do I know him? Well, he's saying that faith ends up being the substance and the evidence. And when you deal in a courtroom of law, you're dealing with evidence. You're dealing with things of substance that prove a thing. And so this is what faith is. And I have a book called The New Testament from 26 Translations. And no, I'm not going to read all 26. But I do want to read this verse from a number of different ones here. Because each time we do this, it gives us a new perspective, a new way of looking at it. And maybe, just maybe, one of these will catch your attention in such a way that you've never seen before. And you're like, oh, yes, thank you, Lord. Okay, I'm getting it. I'm getting better with this. I'm getting it. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the New American Standard Bible. Now faith is a confident assurance. Again, we're talking absolutes. No doubt, no unbelief. Confident assurance of that for which we hope. That's Weymouth. But faith is of things hoped for, a confidence, rather him. Now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for. Moffat. But faith forms, here we go, a solid ground for that which is hoped for. The last song talked about a firm foundation, and this is saying a solid ground. This is Berkeley. Faith is being sure of the things we hope for. That's Beck. Now, faith is the title deed of things hoped for. Montgomery. And what is faith? Faith gives substance to our hopes. New English Bible. Faith is the realization of things hoped for. That's the 20th century New Testament. The evidence of things not seen, a conviction of things not seen, a conviction of the reality of things that we do not see. So here it's saying that our faith is not in some just fog over yonder. It's in something that has a reality. Perhaps we can't physically see it, but it is a reality and makes us certain of realities we do not see. The proof of the reality of the things we cannot see. The putting to the proof of things not seen. Being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith. Perceiving as real what is not revealed to the senses. That gives us a flavor, and we see certain words that are being repeated there. in its substance, its reality. Reality. In reality, we have faith in reality. Faith is not nebulous. Our God is not nebulous. We have faith in something solid, foundational, something that is real. Let me read from the Jewish New Testament. And here we have a word instead of faith, we have trusting. Trusting is being confident of what we hope for, convinced about the things we do not see. There's no room here for if, ands, or buts. No hesitation. Amplified Classic. And this really is a classic. This is a wonderful one. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. The title deed is what shows ownership in a house. It shows that you own this. It is yours. It belongs to you. And that's what faith is. What we're believing for from God is our title deed. It's telling us, yes, it belongs to you. Jesus paid the price for it. It is yours. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses, to the senses. And faith is more powerful than our imagination. But let me give you two examples of a belief, a faith, an imagination. And they're both POWs. And one was a great golfer. Oh, he loved golf. But he was in isolation in this prisoner of war camp. And he had many hours where there was nothing to do and nobody to talk to. So he decided one day, I want to play a game of golf. So he just pictured himself going to the golf course, getting out his clubs and getting there. He's coming up to the first tee now. And he just pictures himself getting the particular iron out that he needs. And he's getting in the stance and he's picturing this all in his mind. And he's getting, and he's hitting it. Whoa! Oh, that was a really good one. It's on the green. Yes! And then he practices his putting. And each day, he goes through this. 18 holes every day. For months, for years. All in his mind and in his heart. And then, praise God, he was released. He was set free. He got to come home. And guess what he wanted to do? He wanted to go golfing. And do you know, it was like he had never been away from the game. He played such a good game of golf because he had seen it. He had seen it over and over. He had rehearsed it over and over to where it had become so much a part of him that when he went out for the reality now that was on the other side, when he's in the prisoner of war camp, that reality of a golf course was way far away. He couldn't see it. He couldn't touch it. He couldn't smell it. He couldn't sense it with any of his five senses. But the day came when it became a reality, and he goes there, and he plays, wonderfully well. And there was another example I heard, similar type example, same situation, a POW, but this man was not a golfer. He was a skier. He snow skied, and he pictured himself going down in the hills, and he's got his skis on, his poles, and he's getting ready, and he's coming down the mountain, and he's, oh boy, oh, this feels so good. Yes, down, 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 down. Woo, up and over that hill. Yes, on, and at the end. And then he goes back up, and then he does it again, and again, and again. And he saw it. He felt it. He sensed it. He believed it. For those moments and hours when he was picturing this, he was there. He was skiing. He was going through the motions. He was doing it and doing it well. But you say, but he really wasn't. It was just his imagination. But you know what? That's the reality of faith. You have to see it. You have to grab hold of what it is you have faith in, what it is you have faith for, and you want to go after it, and you imagine it, and you picture it, and how's God going to do this? I don't know. Well, let me think of this way. Oh, yeah, that could be. Or what about this way? And you think of another way. And it doesn't matter whether it happens any of those ways, because you've prayed the end result. And the time and the how it happens is up to God. But in the process of your picturing these different ways that it could come to pass, you're keeping yourself focused on that. You're keeping your hopes up. You're reaching out and you're saying, yes, it's real, and I know it's there, and I know it's mine. And then God does it a completely different way, and you're like, whoa, I never would have thought of that one, God. That's really cool. But you thank him because it's done, because it's yours. And now you're in the reality of what you saw in your heart all this time. This is what faith is about. Now, I like the Message translation. This is really very fundamental. Does everybody know about the Message translation? It's a modern version. It's kind of everyday language. It's not meant to be scripturally totally accurate. It's meant to be for the average person, maybe someone who hasn't had a college education, to be able to read and to understand who God is and what God has for him. So the Message says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. That's so good. I want to read that one again. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here is my handle, here is my spout. Everybody's giggling because we all learned that in grade school, didn't we? But here's the handle on the teapot. And the lid's on the teapot, and we can't see in the teapot. We believe there's tea inside, but we can't see it. And so when we go to pour it, we lift the handle. And we're controlling the teapot, and we're expecting tea's going to pour out of the spout, right? Okay, so there's a little visual for those of you who are visual that want to get something a little more that you can put your hands on. Okay, so faith, it begins with receiving faith. We have to know, how do we get faith in order to act on this? Okay, receiving faith, first of all, Hebrews 11:6 says what? It is impossible, not difficult, not, well, you know, could be a little of this, could be, no, it's impossible. There's another absolute. God is very simple. He's very plain. He's very black and white. It is impossible to please God without faith. Let me read the scripture. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, there's the faith, must believe that he is. We who haven't seen him, we believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Diligently. It's not the que sera, sera, okay, if I find God, okay, if it happens, whatever. Doesn't work that way. We must diligently seek him. That means there's going to be time and effort and work involved in seeking God. John 8:31 and 32 talks about the difference between believers and disciples. Because everyone who receives Jesus is a believer. He is our Savior. But the disciples are the ones who are the diligent seekers, the ones that are putting discipline into their lives to grow closer to God, to be able to find out what belongs to them. What did Jesus pay for me? What was his sacrifice all about? What was this covenant he established with his blood? What belongs to me? I want it all. And I'm seeking after. I'm seeking through the Word of God. I'm seeking through prayer. I'm seeking from the Holy Spirit to learn what belongs to me. Because he said he did it for me. And each one of us can say that. He did it for us. He loves us so much that he wanted us to be with him throughout eternity. And he wanted to pay that price for us that we could not pay. Thank you, Jesus. So now this is planted as a seed. Matthew 13, 31 and 32 talks about the mustard seed, which happens to be the teeniest, tiniest little seed. It's an itty bitty, teeny weeny thing you can hardly see. They make these necklaces, and the necklace itself is about yay big around, and it's got this little dot in the middle, which is the mustard seed. And here's what the Bible has to say about that. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Imagine, it starts as this little dot and forms this great big huge tree with many branches and many leaves, and the birds love to come and rest there and make their nest there. Romans 12:3 says that God has given to every man the measure of faith. The measure of faith. So that means when you are born again, God gave you the measure of faith, and it belongs to you. Now, what are you going to do with it? What is this seed? What do seeds do? Seeds grow when you nurture them, when you water them, after you've planted them. Just sitting in your hand isn't going to do any good. It has to be planted, watered, nurtured, fed some food, plant food, right, for it to grow. And so here's the measure of faith. Now, what else it is kind of like a muscle. A few of you, not too many as I look around, but a few of you knew me before Pastor Joshua and I were married. And I guess my name wasn't Minnie, but you could call me Skinny Minnie. I had these thin little arms, and you know, it's just like from the waist up, it was just kind of skin and bones. Tad of flesh on there, but I was pretty skinny. Wasn't, fortunately, I guess, until later that my new family told me, oh, I'm so glad you put on weight. You really needed it. But you know what the weight was? A lot of it was we got a handle on exercising and heavy hands. And so the heavy hands involve all these different motions. We do this, and we do this, and we do this, and we do this. And so we're doing all these motions, right? And guess what? The muscles in my upper body started to develop. You know, they were there all the time. You just couldn't see them, but they were there. And so I took what I already had, and I started working it, and I started developing them. And they started growing. And I can't do it now because I've got my jacket and my blouse on, but I could do this and you'd be really impressed. The kid has muscles now. Praise God. So then we have the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And by the way, this is fruit of the Spirit, not fruits, plural. It is one entity with nine parts. And oh, by the way, faith is the seventh one on the list. And all of them are important, so you can't say it's not important because it's the seventh one down. All God's saying is, you need all nine of them. They all work together. That's why it's one entity. That's why we as a body of Christ have to work together. We're all members. One might be like the finger and the arm and the ear and the eye, and we all have to come together and fulfill the role that God has called us to do. And when we work together, we are a whole body. We are functioning in the perfection to which God created us to function. So, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Oh, there's one of the fruit of the Spirit. See how it's all flowing together. Run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You realize that Jesus had to have had faith, because when he enacted this, he sacrificed himself for us. It said he loved us before we loved him. What if nobody had ever said yes to Jesus? You know, that's the thing that he had to look at and realize that possibility existed. What if nobody ever said yes to Jesus? What if nobody ever accepted that? But he had the faith to believe that we would. He had the faith to know in his heart that he knew that he knew that he knew that we would say, yes, Jesus, we love you too, and we want all you have for us from now through eternity. All the glories of God, they belong to us. And we are saved by grace through faith. So it takes grace and faith. It's not from ourselves. It is a gift from God. The word of faith. Now here's what we often turn to say about receiving Jesus. Romans 10, 8 through 10. Let me read it first and then we'll come back to some thoughts. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know how many times I read that scripture, and I would say, yes, we believe in our heart that Jesus died for us, and then we confess them. After all, the word of God says it out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So we have to believe first, and then we can say it, right? Well, let's look at that scripture again. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And again, in verse 9, it says, confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thine heart. Mouth before heart. We confess it. And what we confess, we're putting down on the inside of us. As we speak the word of God, it's becoming a part of us. When we affirm the word of God and we say it over and over again, it's not vain repetition. It's the power of the word of God that you are speaking and speaking. And you go to school, and what do teachers tell you? We need to repeat for you to learn. Right, teachers? Repetition is a key to learning. And so as we speak the word of God, we speak it and speak it and speak it out loud. We're putting it down on the inside of us. We're putting it down into our hearts. And then it becomes the core value system that replaces whatever happened when we were 6 to 18, because most of us, unless we renew ourselves to the Word of God, we're operating on things we were taught and experiences we had when we were kids. And I think most of us have grown up a lot since then. So we need to line up with the Word of God, find out what God has to say, and get that on the inside of us. So we do it by affirming the Word. We speak it over and over. We're putting it into ourselves. We're agreeing with God. He says, where two agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done for them. Okay, let me see a show of hands. How many are on earth? Okay, yes, we are all here on earth. And if we agree with God in the Word of God, He says about us, then we're making it so. And Mark 11:23 says that you have, Jesus Himself said it, it's in red, you have what you say. So what are we going to say? We're going to say what God says about us, and that helps build up our faith. It puts it down in our hearts so that after that we can then say, okay, it's coming out of our hearts, out of the abundance of our hearts. We're now speaking the Word of God. We're now speaking the Word of faith. We're now saying, God, I want what you want, and this is it. I know, because I've got the Word of God. I can read it right here in the Word of God. I can know this is what you want for me. And what you want for me, God, is what I want for me. Because Jesus paid that price. Amen. Hallelujah. So Deuteronomy 30, 14 through 20 talks about loving and obeying God. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. Does that sound familiar? So that was in the old covenant as well. So when he repeats it in Romans, it's just sealing where two agree as touching anything. God's making this very clear. It's in thy mouth and in thy heart. Why? That thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. There's a choice here. We face choices every day of our lives. We face many choices throughout each day. How are we going to choose? And are we going to do it with the words of our mouth? Are we going to do it out of the abundance of our heart? Will that be a faith statement, or will it be recognizing the circumstances that are staring us in the face? We got to have, like those POWs, we got to have the vision of what that faith stand is so strong in us that it obliterates the circumstances that are slapping at you, coming at you from all sides. Yeah. You know, all the negatives, all the evil doctor's reports, all the financial challenges, all the things that come against us, maybe a relationship situation. They're all coming at us from all sides because Satan's trying to take us down. He does not want us to succeed, but God does, and Jesus paid the price so that we can succeed and do so most excellently. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou go to possess it. So here's the good choice, the God choice. We actually don't want a good choice. We want the God choice. Because God overrides good. Sometimes something may be good, but it may not be God's choice for that moment. The timing might be off. And so we want God's choice all the way. But now here are the curses. If the choice is for death and evil, it says, but if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, they're just holding their hands over theirs and going, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. La, 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 la. We're so busy with the things of this world. We're playing the music. You hear the people going by in the cars. You come to a stop. And Their cars are vibrating. Their windows are down. The volume is so loud, you have to, your car is vibrating. You got to close the windows because you can't hear about this. Like, ah, you know, and you know that they're not hearing God because they're hearing the la, 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 la. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. And we have many gods in this world that we can serve. Forms of Satan, devils, demons, evil spirits, but they're obvious things. Sometimes they're good things. But if we worship them, if we put God below them, we saw some of that the last Friday that I taught with the faith scenarios, the birthday party scheduled by a loving family during church. What was the fellow going to do? Well, is he going to put God number one in his life, or is he going to make the family number one, put them above God? These are some of the kinds of decisions that we make. I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Now, here's the choice again. And God's so good. You know, he gives us open book tests. Listen to this. I call heaven and to earth to record against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, what does it say? Therefore, choose life. God's given you the answer that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. What God has for us is so awesome. Got to just kind of pull ourselves back from the things of the world and all of the la-la-las and just say, don't need you anymore. Maybe you were entertaining for a season, but not now. I want to be entertained by the Word of God. I want to be challenged by my God. I want to get closer to my Jesus. I want to do the things that it takes. I need to make some changes in my life. So I'm going to do affirmations, and I'm going to do a lot of them because I believe the Word of God. And I believe that as I speak the Word of God to myself, my life, my body, my circumstances, my checkbook, I believe things are changing. That's what faith is all about. We have to have our expectors on. We have to expect that which we say we have faith for, that we really, really, really believe that God will do it, that he is faithful, that he is trustworthy, that he said what he meant and meant what he said. We have to believe that. And we have to believe that it's true for me. Oh, it's easy to believe for somebody else. Oh, yeah, God's good to them, but me? Oh, I don't know about that. But yes, he's saying yes for me too. And he is life in the length of days. Again, those last two verses, life, life, Zoe life, life that lives forever, life that is stronger than anything else, life that overcomes all sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain because Jesus, the life is in the blood, and Jesus shed his blood, every single drop of it, to pay the price for all of our sins, to pay the price for all of us, all of us. The price has been paid. Be like going to the local car dealership, and somebody says they bought a Mercedes for you, and it's all paid for, and it has all the bells and whistles on it. Your favorite color. It's going to be just awesome. It's yours. But you got to do something. You got to go to the dealership. You got to believe that they said it's yours. You got to believe that it's paid for. You got to go to the dealership. And you got to say, hey, my name is, you know, and here's my ID to prove that I am that person. And you have a car for me. It's in my name. And I'm here to pick it up. I'll take the keys and the car. Thank you very much. That's acting on the faith. Okay, now we talked about how we receive faith. What about living it? Mark 11, 22 to 24 says, have the faith of God. One translation says, has faith in God. But another way of looking at it is the faith of God. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Mark 11, 22 through 24. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, Do you see it saying anywhere, shall not doubt in his head? No. You know why? Because Satan has the right to put thoughts in our heads, thoughts in our minds. The battleground is the mind. The mind is the battleground. And he's going to put thoughts there. It comes down to, what are you going to do with that thought when it comes to your mind? Are you going to entertain it? Are you going to speak words that show people what thought you have in your mind? And then are you going to act on it? Or are you going to evaluate and say, okay, that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Now, I reject that thought. You know, maybe it's a thought of you got a pain in your body and you say, no, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. I belong to Jesus. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Not going to go there. So we don't entertain it. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. This is the prayer of faith. For those of you who have been through healing school and now School of Dominion, you've gotten this over and over again. But as Papa Hagen used to say, I will stop teaching it when you get it. So we got to get it. We got to get it deep on the inside of us. It's got to be so absolute and so secure and so sure that there's not one iota of doubt in our hearts. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Okay, from the time we just say amen, we believe we have it. Jerry Savelle tells the story where he was believing for a car, a newer, better car than the one he had, which was being very challenged. And they, as a family, prayed, he and his wife and their two daughters when the girls were little. And he prayed for the new car and said, thank you, Lord. I believe I've received that new car. And what did he do every day? He's looking out in the driveway. He's looking out. And his daughter said, Daddy, what are you doing? Oh, he says, I'm looking to see our new car. And they'd go to the window and look and say, but Daddy, I don't see anything. He says, oh, but it's there. You just don't see it yet, but it's there. And then when he wanted to buy a plane, he did steps of faith, action plans that believed that he had received this plane, even though he didn't see it yet. He rented a hangar. He got one of those cloths for wiping off the windshield of the plane. And he invested in these things. They were steps that said, I believe I got a plane. My eyes don't see it yet. I can't fly it just yet in the natural, but I can close my eyes and I see it and I'm flying and I'm going to every appointment and my plane, it's really God's plane because it's for his kingdom. And he was just, it was so real to him. The girls got on board and they started looking too and say, what are you doing? They go, Daddy, we're looking for our new car. Isn't it pretty? So that's what faith is all about. So we have the faith of God. How do we know about the faith of God? What about Genesis 1? And God said, and it was, and God said, and it was very good. Boy, this is going to be not good English, but if that ain't faith, I don't know what is. So God is a God of faith, and he operates by faith, and he shows us how to do it. Now, Habakkuk 2:2-4 says, the just shall live by his faith. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It will be in God's time. If you think it's late, what about Paul and Jan Crouch and TBN? And they're buying TBN. This is way back in the very beginning. And they had everything they needed but $35,000. And it's now half an hour before the bank is going to close. They have to have the money into the bank before it closed that day, or they would lose everything they had invested into it up to that point. But they believed, and they kept thanking God, and they kept thanking God, and thank you, Lord, we have that $35,000. It looked impossible. They didn't know anybody else that, you know, they'd talk to anybody they knew, and they didn't know where that $35,000 was coming from. But they just knew that they knew that they knew this was God's station, and God was making provision, and they had that station. They had that paid for. And all of a sudden, this man comes in, a sweet little man, and he said, oh, by the way, God told me to bring this to you. Paul grabs it, opens up the envelope, and looks. It's a check for $35,000, and he didn't even stop to thank the man. He's out the door. He's on his way. And he said he got to the bank just as they're getting ready to put the key in the door to lock it at 3 o'clock for closing. He's going, wait a minute, wait a minute, no! Let me in! And some people would say, okay, that's just a little too nerve-wracking. Why do you wait till the midnight hour, Lord? Why the very last minute? God says, it's not the last minute, it's perfect time. You got the money, didn't you? You got it in to the bank before they closed, didn't you? So what's the problem? We sometimes try to put our own thoughts into it, and we need to just relax and go God's way. So I think I didn't finish reading that. Then the last verse says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. We look at Romans 1:17. The just shall live by faith. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And then we take a look at Hebrews 10:38, and we see, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So we've seen in three verses, the just shall live by faith. Who are the just? The just are the righteous. We are those who are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are the ones who have said yes to Jesus Christ. We have received salvation through the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We are the just, and so God's making it very plain. Through the mouths of two or three witnesses, a thing is so, the word of God says. And here we have three that says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Okay, everybody ready for your English lesson for the day? When you're doing a declension, you've got, I will, you will, he shall. So it's will, shall. And that's simple future. But when you want to make it more definitive and just make it absolute that this is going to happen, then you flip-flop them, and now it's shall, will. Did I get that right with this? The just shall live by faith. Yeah, simple future is shall, for I, but for the third person, it shall, just to make it clear. Shall, in this case, means it's a must. It's a requirement. We go back to the definitions and say, it is required, it is absolute, it shall be, it must be, it cannot be any other way. They just shall live by faith. Praise God. So we go back to Romans 10, 8 through 10. Remember, this is how we live it. We talked about how we receive it with these scriptures, but how we live it is just the very same thing. We just continue on from our mouths and our hearts. This is how God operates. This is how he expects us to operate in our lives. Again, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's the shall again. This is absolute. You do this, you shall be saved. Praise God. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But you know what? We have an enemy. It would be wonderful if faith were as simple as you're looking to see what God has for you and you're going after it and that's all there is to it. If we were in the Garden of Eden before the fall, we were in heaven, it would be a whole different ballgame. But it's not. We have an enemy. His name is, depending on which use you find in Revelation 12, it talks about Satan, the devil, the dragon, and the serpent. He's known by many different names, and they're all kind of He is after us. He is trying to steal the word of God out of our hearts and out of our mouths. And he's doing everything he knows to come against us. As we teach in our schools, that we teach it, and then you're the student, you learn it, and then Satan is the one who gives the lab test. In your everyday situations, he brings out something that's going to be a test for you. You learn it here, and you go, oh, yeah, that's great. And then Satan comes along, do you really believe that? Are you sure you really believe that? Here, let me find out. Let me give you a challenge and see how you're going to react to that. Oh, what are we going to hear coming out of your mouth? How are you going to act? What are you going to say? So, let's look at James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. My brethren, count it all joy. Woohoo! Joy! Joy! Everybody, I got it. Joy! When you fall into diverse temptations, usually we're more like, oh God, why does this have to happen? Why does this have to happen to me? God, can't you take this away from me? Oh, whoops, wait a minute. I'm supposed to have joy. You sure, God? Joy? Okay. Okay, I will have joy when I fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Oh, there's the word so many people don't like. They're in a hurry to get patience so that they don't have to think about being patient anymore. Doesn't work that way. And you remember, patience is another one of the fruit of the Spirit. So see how, again, another view of how all these things work together. Joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Patience is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So we really need to lean heavily on the fruit of the Spirit in our faith walk so that we can become victorious. But let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire. Perfect. Me? Oh, but God, you know I'm just a sinner. Just a sinner saved by grace. I'm not perfect. I'll never be perfect. I don't know how to be perfect. God, how can you expect me? I'm flawed. But this is the word of God. And this is what he's saying about us. But let patience have her perfect work. Oh, that's the problem. We're not letting patience have her perfect work so that we can't be perfect and entire without patience. Wanting nothing, absolute again, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask how? In faith. Okay, we're going to God and we're asking in faith, nothing wavering. No, what if it doesn't work? No plan B. No questions, no doubts, no hesitations. We're just going full blown into it. He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth, that doubteth, that questions, is like a wave of the sea. And we see the waves going this way and that way, up and then back down and then back up. And they're just back and forth and all around. Like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Nothing. If we're double-minded, if we're doubting, if we're questioning, it really impacts what's going to happen. Because we need to be in faith, and faith is all out. He says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's kind of like this kind of, you know, teeter-tottering, not sure. Oh, this wave's coming this way. Okay, oh, this wave's coming that way. And, well, I'm not sure really what I believe in. God, you know, if I try this faith thing, is it really going to work? I don't know. I don't know if I can trust you, God. And God's saying, yes, you can trust me. Yes, you can. So, hearer and doer of the word. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, because if you hear only, you are deceiving yourself. Why do we have to be doers? A, to avoid deceit, but B, we're putting the word of God into practice. We're putting a faith action plan in action, so that we can make it a part of us, so that God's word becomes a part of us, so that we're doing something. You know, God always does the hard part, but he always asks us to partner with him and do something. So that's why, even with our salvation, think about it. We had to believe in our hearts, and we had to speak it out with our mouths. We had to do something. We had to believe that this God who lived 2,000 years ago died on a cross to pay the price for our sins, took a whipping of 39 stripes on his back for us, for all sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain. It's what the Word of God says, and we have to believe that. I mean, you know, most of us have not had Jesus just walk right up to us and have a conversation. We believe it by faith. That's faith again. Look around you. How many people are sitting in chairs? Do you have faith that that chair is not going to collapse under you? What about people who drive across bridges? They have faith to believe that that bridge is still going to be there. So we exercise faith in our lives every day anyway. Let's just transform it over to be faith in God and in what God says and into doing things God's way. So Romans 1:17 says, for therein is the righteousness, and God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. From faith to faith, it's a step-by-step thing. It says God is revealed. You take a step of faith, and God proves himself. And you're just so excited and you're strengthened by it. And so you're willing to take another step of faith now because God proved himself there and he did what he said in his word he was going to do. So now you're ready to take that second step. And with each step you take, with him fulfilling his word, each step of the way, you just get stronger and stronger. And after a while, the habits of old, the lifestyle of old, the things of the world just grow dim and you have no interest in any of that. You just want Jesus, author and finisher of your faith. You're putting on blinders and you're looking at Jesus and you're looking at his word and you're following him and you're hungry for him and you want more of him and you're just so excited because the glories of being in his presence is beyond anything you've ever known before. Lord, that I feel sorry for God so much. His church, the body of Christ worldwide, how many of those who have said yes to Jesus really know what it's like to be excited in following Jesus? Or is going to church just something they do once a week for an hour? They fulfilled their obligation. Okay, the Christians, they're expected to go to church. And then they go on back home and live their lives just any old way, the way they've always done. Would that everybody could taste of the glory of God. It is a growth path. It is a step-by-step. It is a process. God's not going to come up to us and go, "Woo, I'm waving my magic wand and you all have great faith." Doesn't work that way. We have to take those steps. We have to do something. We have to act with God. We have to take him by the hand and walk with him and do things his way and just see him work in our lives. For I love to say, work the word of God. When you work the word of God works. Right? We've all experienced that, thank God. So Ephesians 3, 17 through 21, this is pretty awesome. This is a great prayer that we've talked about many times, but let's just focus right now on just what the word is saying. That Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you, being rooted and grounded, there's that firm foundation again. There's that mustard seed with the huge root system, and it's now this gigantic tree, because in order to be a gigantic tree, it has to have a huge root system. Palm trees typically have very weak, very small roots, and they can easily be blown over. But you take a tree like the mustard tree, and it has solid roots. It will hold fast. No matter what wind is blowing, no matter what's going on, no matter how many birds sit in the branches, that's what we want to be like. Rooted and grounded in love, agape love, the love that loves no matter what, God's love. God is love. So we're rooted and grounded in God and his love. That we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. Now, this knowing is a know that you know that you know. You know in your heart, you know in your soul, you know in your mind. It's absolute. You know that you know that you know. We've always said that phrase, and it represents that there's no doubt, no hesitation. This is absolute. We know in every part of our beings that God is who he said. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Our finite minds can't explain it, but you know what? We don't have to. It doesn't matter. When you experience it, you have no words for it anyway. That's where our heavenly language comes in, because English just isn't enough to glorify the awesomeness of our God. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And you know, there's so much of God that he doesn't just fill his fullness in one person, like you expect the pastor. Oh, Pastor Josh was filled with the fullness of God, but who am I? I can't be. Well, yeah, he wants it for all of us. That's why it's in there, that we just have to believe and receive, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we, repeat after me, that I might be filled with all the fullness of God. I receive it by faith. He lives in my heart. I know it by faith. And I thank you, Lord. Now comes my favorite verse, as all of you, I think, are well aware. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What is that power that works in us? That's the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That Holy Spirit lives on the inside of each one of us. He is with us. He walks with us. He talks with us. Jerry Savelle also called him the Holy Guest. So we need to think of him like that, that he is with us, that all that we think, say, or do honors God, and then our Holy Guest will be very much at home and not feel like he's in the wrong place. Unto him, glory to God, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen.